ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good, excuse me, Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Coming up at about 9:30, we're going to hear from a local guy that is doing amazing things. It'd be Mr. Brandon Culver. He's going to be in here. Just completed his 9th Ironman triathlon over the weekend up in Tulsa. And just, I've got a whole page worth of questions. I don't know if I'll be able to get all, and I'm sure you do too. Just wondering about, you know, what that is and how that works and all that. So Brandon's going to be in here at 9:30. We're going to pick his brain about those accomplishments and what it's like going through that process. I'll hit a little bit of NBA playoffs at some point here with the Warriors headed back to the NBA Finals. Golden State beat Dallas 120-110. In game five to win that game, to win that series 4-1, 6th finals appearance in 8 years for the Warriors. That is in a really esteemed class of teams. There's been some local coaching hires. I don't think we've really mentioned one of them happened yesterday. Talk a little bit about that. And also Big 12 baseball tournament going on down in Arlington. Both in-state schools still alive, one in great shape moving forward into the weekend. And also the softball super regionals started last night. And it went well for one of the teams here in state. That's what we got on our mind today. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Going to be outside the listening area. A couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to kadsam.com. Download the Paragon app as well. The app's got radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition, the Penny News is out there. Go pick up your free copy of the Penny News at your local newsstands. When in season, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. And then we've also, of course, got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and catch what we had to talk about. iTunes and also KADSAM.com. Good morning, Jared.
How are you doing?
Just wonderful. Great event yesterday.
Yeah, how'd that go?
For the fire department here at Elk City, fundraiser golf tournament. It was fun. We had a good time. We got to play on the same tee box with the four seniors that are graduated from Merritt's golf team.
Oh, really?
It was Kiara Stair. I don't remember what Taylor's last name is. I'm so sorry. Lexi Frazier and Daly Pollard. And I'm going to tell you something. They can hit it. You can figure out pretty quickly why they were the number four team at the state tournament in Class 2A.
That's awesome.
They could absolutely hit it.
That's awesome.
I don't think Sean hit a drive further than any of them all day long.
Oh, good. He needs humbling. Taylor Ford?
That's it.
Lexi Frazier?
That's it. Taylor
Daly
Ford.
Pollard.
I just couldn't remember her last name.
And Kiara Stair?
And Kiara Stair.
Yeah. Yep,
that's them. Four seniors.
Ironically, I talked about them yesterday.
They're headed to Woodward.
Yeah, but classic
tomorrow.
Golf. Yes.
That tournament's tomorrow.
Yeah, well, cool. That's cool.
So that was fun. Got to shoot the cannon.
Now, did that work like they said it? Did it go the distance?
Gabe was the very first one to shoot it.
Oh, that's
the hole
idea.
We started on. And he shot that thing. We were playing. We were at the blue, about the white tees on number 14. So I'm guessing that hole is, I don't know. I bet he shot the. I bet the ball went somewhere between, say, 240 and 280. Closer probably to 280 because he had the longest one in our group by far.
Okay.
He was probably 40 yards past everybody else.
It's like designed like a potato gun or.
It was just a tube.
Air pressure.
And they air pressured it up and
boom.
And shot him off. So that was pretty. That was a cool start today. I don't think the ladies understood what was happening and it kind of.
Was it loud?
It had a little bit of sound to it, and I don't think they were ready for it.
They get some of those squeals.
Yeah, I was like, ah! So, no, it was a great event. 160 players for the first ever firefighter golf tournament. The Elk City Fire Department fundraiser. It was an awesome day. A lot of good stuff out there. So that was a fun day. Also, coming up. Monday, June 30th, so actually on Memorial Day at 10:30, Beckham County Memorial Day ceremony will be held at the Veterans Memorial at Fair Lawn Cemetery right here in Elk City, right there off of Washington Street, South Washington. So that's Monday at 10:30. Ceremony will include patriotic music by our own Sean Wilson.
What's that mean?
I would love to know, but not enough for him to come in here. A flag ceremony conducted by the Beckham County Sheriff's Office, Honor Guard, and members of the Oklahoma Highway Patrol. I'm sure he'll sing Grand Old Flag or America the Beautiful, maybe even the Star-Spangled Banner. Hopefully he'll remember the words this time, unlike one of his prior engagements at the rodeo one year that he's told us about numerous times. So that's what's going on. Monday, June 30th at 10:30. A little ornery today, Jared. I'm a little ornery.
You are?
Yeah, a little bit. Monday, June 30th, 10:30. At the Veterans Memorial Fairlawn Cemetery. That's always a cool thing.
It is. They've done that a few years now, yeah.
For giving us that info. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
All right, where do you want to stop? Start baseball or softball?
Man, I don't know why. I've been enthralled with the Big 12 baseball tournament, but I've had it on every chance I get. And so let's start there. OSU had a nice comeback win yesterday to start things off. Over a run-rolling Baylor was 11-1.
Yep.
And seven innings. And then OU, I don't know. I was having this discussion with a buddy last night. It's like, hey, you might want to tune in. OU's about to upset Texas Tech. And he replied with, is it really an upset? Because they've had their number all year.
Yeah, it's 5 out of 6, I think. Or 4 out of 5, I guess.
Something like that.
Because they beat them out in Amarillo before the series. Took 2 of 3 last week in the series.
Right.
And then beat them again yesterday.
Yeah. So OU might be the hottest team in the nation. But are they too hot too quick? But they look good. They looked real good. Jackson Nicklaus had a nice 3-run shot in the second inning. And they held on to that and added to it thanks to Texas Tech errors in the seventh inning. And took advantage of the aggressive base running, which I have always been a fan of. And they took advantage of it and inflated the lead to 6-1 and held on. Now, that late game pitching might get them. But we've seen that before. We've seen that in the OSU series. Seen that in the Texas series right there in Arlington, ironically. They've got to shore that up. But if they can get a big enough lead and hold on to it, because it almost cost them against West Virginia in the first round on Wednesday. But OU playing really good baseball right now. Played really good baseball right now. I think the way they ended the regular season, it all but solidified their positioning inside the tournament. And now, if they can make a deep run here, I mean, who knows? Could they be hosting a regional? There is that discussion.
Yeah, that's probably the top of the line. I don't think they can get a national seed and host Supers, but maybe be at Eldale next week. You just wonder about, you mentioned those two games. How much different are we talking about them with regards to hosting? If they hold on to that lead against Oklahoma State, hold on to that lead against Texas, you take 2 of 3 from both of those teams, then, you know, how much does that, just those couple of games and that bullpen struggled at times throughout the season, but they seem to have gotten it together for the most part. You mentioned that the West Virginia game let them back in a little bit, but we're still able to get the thing done. And you're right, they're on fire, and, you know, a Big 12 tournament title, maybe that does get them at home next week. To be able to host the regional tournament. And if you can get to there, you know, you're obviously the one seed in your regional, which then if you're the last one, you're going to have to play number one Tennessee, but whatever. I mean, it gets you – I think the goal here isn't to make the World Series. The goal here is to get to the Super Regionals and then let your chips fall where they may. What I'm saying that for is you don't care who you play. If you can get into the Super Regionals, you don't care who you play. You'll play them and see how it goes. OSU-wise, you're right. They've got TCU today. It's at a 3:30 start to try to stay in the running for, you know, I think at this point they've got to win that tournament to be able to be a national seed. Anything less than that, it's not going to be good enough with that loss to Texas. You know, if you win the first three and you play in the finals, then maybe you've got an argument. But with that loss in game one, I think they've got to come all the way back to be able to win the tournament to be a national seed. And quite frankly, probably make sure and win today just to be sure you're hosting next week, right? You know, 1-2 after losing 5 straight going in doesn't look the greatest. So, you know, I think that's something that OSU probably need. They don't have to have it, but it'd be almost a guarantee at that point. And so, yeah, it's been fun. OU and Texas are the two teams that don't have to play today. So you've got OSU, TCU, you've got Texas Tech playing Kansas State. Those winners, OSU, whoever wins the OSU game will play Texas. Whoever wins the Tech Kansas State game will play OU. Have to beat them twice, right, to be able to get into the finals. Is that the way that bracket still sets up? I would assume it is.
If you're OSU?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and so that means OU has to be beaten twice not to play in the Big 12 finals.
Correct.
Softball, OSU, 2-0 win last night in game one of their Super Regional up in Stillwater, 2-0 over Clemson. Kelly Maxwell was awesome, 7 innings. Obviously didn't give up any runs, only 2 hits, walked 1, struck out 13. So the Cowgirls, 1 win away from their third straight Women's College World Series. And, man, you can feel the anticipation building, right, with the thought of, could it be? Both of them have to get there first. But then, you know, all the talk next week is going to be, can it happen? Can it be a Bedlam series for the softball national title?
And it very well could be. Things have to, you know, I think the way it, the bracket, I'd hate to see it happen before. You know, the matchup happened before and then one knocked the other one out. But you want to see them get to the final. I mean, it's very possible. If OSU can take care of business today, and of course OU too with UCF, I don't think we'll have seen the issues there. And then now, do they stick with the seeding when they get to the World Series?
It's there. Okay. So they're on opposite sides of the bracket.
They are on opposite sides. So then I certainly hope that they can just take care of business. And now, is there cross?
I know there is some sort of cross bracketing in there.
Loss, yes. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Because this was set up last year. They were on the same side, right?
Yeah. They didn't play.
But they didn't play. Oklahoma lost the first game. Did OSU win the first game? They must have, or they'd had to have played.
I'd have to go back to the records and look. I don't know.
It seems like soon as OU lost, then that put – and when they did something different, that allowed – when being in the same bracket, that allowed them to be able to possibly meet in the finals. Mm-hmm. Of course, it didn't happen. I think OSU won and then lost 2 straight.
I think that's what happened.
And OU lost the first game and then
they
won.
Came all the way back, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was keeping tabs on that one, and when that got to the fifth inning scoreless, I thought, boy, OSU better not mess around here and blow an opportunity and put themselves, in trouble at home. But kudos to them getting those 2 runs in the fifth and holding on to win. And great pitching performance, only giving up 2 hits. That's what you want out of your ace.
Absolutely. Yeah, Maxwell striking out
13. If the bats aren't working, at least the other ones aren't either.
That's exactly right. And so OSU and Clemson game 2 tonight at 8 o'clock. OU at 3:30 in game 1 against UCF also.
And because I picked the OSU series in 3, then I have to say go Clemson.
Yeah, see, I'd sweep
some. I don't
both.
Want to, but oh, you I like to look smart.
You don't mind, though.
Of course really. Not.
You don't mind. Also, teeing off today, right now.
Yeah.
Out in Scottsdale at Greyhawk is the Men's Division I Golf Championship. Could be another chance to see some Bedlam action. They're going to play together today.
Really?
As number 1, number 2, and number 3.
I didn't realize the pairings.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3 play together. OU's 1, OSU's 2, Vanderbilt is 3. So they tee off at 11:30. I assume that's mountain time, so probably 10:30 our time in round 1. I think, well, what are there, 3 or 4 rounds? I think there's 4 rounds of stroke play from all the way through Monday. Got to be in the top 8 team-wise then to go on to the match play in the middle of next week to crown a national champion. So that would be, think about what could be happening next week, right? We talked about this exact same thing last year with all this going on at the same time, but we could have a men's golf
Bedlam
match play for the title, and then that would lead right into the Women's College World Series, which could have Bedlam at the end of that too. So a lot of fun here winding down the college sports season in this state with Bedlam possibilities abounding all across the different sports that are going on.
Hey, man, and at the end of the day, I mean, isn't that cool for the state? Right? Just if that was a thing.
Yeah, especially.
But also at the end of the day, bull crap. Boomer Sooner. I want them to win them all.
But especially being with that women's college. Think about the Women's College World Series. If OU and OSU can both stamp their tickets, either Texas or Arkansas is going to be here as well because they're playing.
Yeah.
You know, that's
we'll know today.
It's always a big deal.
Maybe.
With the in-state schools, but then even adding, say, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Adding that flavor to Oklahoma City.
Come on over. Yeah.
It's going to be a wild time.
Yeah.
In OKC. It always is. It's a lot of fun. It's one of the best. Anybody that's ever been will tell you it is one of the best sporting events you can go to, especially if OU or OSU is playing in Hall of Fame Stadium there in Oklahoma City.
It's always cool, too, when Florida State is going to – oh, wait, they got beat out. I thought they were the number one team.
Which also helps OSU. That will not have to be their opponent in round one in Oklahoma City.
Absolutely, that helps them.
Local coaching hires. We hadn't really got into this a lot, but it's all out there now, so I feel like we can. Canute hired a baseball coach yesterday, and I'm sure you're thinking, wait a minute, what?
Yeah,
Gillette had that thing rolling.
We're kind of set on that news, but I was very – it's been, I don't know, sensitive is the word, but I made sure it's okay, and he said, yeah, talk about it. So
Gillette, Coach Gillette, is staying in Canute.
Yeah.
But he's going to be the softball coach instead. You know, he's turned the Canute baseball program into a powerhouse around here, no doubt about that. And so he is going to take the softball job. Got some kids coming. That's a cool thing that he's going to be able to experience.
I think about to be a sixth or seventh grader.
I think she's going to be a sixth grader. I think she's same age as Wyatt.
Right. And I get it. I mean, I don't question it at all. You want to coach your kid. I don't blame him at all.
So that opens up what has become one of the premier jobs in small school baseball in Western Oklahoma or the entire state. And they have hired a guy that I was sure hoping to see coach a different team. Taylor Varnell of... You know, ORU, Wussy, pitched in the minor leagues, probably would still be except for he decided to come back home and start a family. He will be the head baseball coach at Canute. He spent the last year and a half over at Sayre helping out. And so he takes the reins of a program that is rolling right now. And I would expect nothing more than him to keep that thing right on the tracks, barreling down the track. Yeah. So congratulations to Taylor. God, I hate to see him go. From where he was, but that's what happened, and that's what's going to be. So Taylor Varnell gets the Canute job, and then also Brian Bingham, who was the softball coach at Canute, he gets a job down at Mangum, and that's been one of the better ones in 2A over the last decade as well. So all three of those guys in really, really good spots moving forward.
Yeah, it's Western Oklahoma's version of the coaching carousel. You know, at the end of the year, usually we'll see some shakeup, stuff like this, so... Congratulations, everybody. I think everybody landed in a good spot.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, that's just, it's like you said, the coaching carousel just kind of rolled around a little bit there, and except for one spot. Got caught looking. Warriors last night headed to their sixth finals in 8 years with a 120-110 win over the Dallas Mavericks. Obviously, they've won some titles, and everyone knows about Steph. You know, KD coming in there, they won one without him, two with him. So at this point, what, three for five? Or so 3-2. They lost to the Cavs, and then they lost to Toronto when everybody got hurt.
Right.
This puts this team and this puts Steph Curry in some really rarefied air in the history of the league. Do we appreciate what's going on here quite enough? Because not only are they having the success, but also I think it can be argued that they have changed the way basketball is being played and will be played for the foreseeable future.
Right, right. Sorry, distracted. We got a star athlete in the building.
Yes, we do.
I was kind of having this conversation last night about Golden State and how we feel about them. And I think we both kind of agree. We don't have to like them, but we respect them because of they drafted well, and those pieces that they drafted before KD are still there, and here they are again in the finals. So, yeah, I mean, take the fact that, you know, they took down OKC, they took OKC's star, take that all out of it. Again, don't have to like Draymond Green. He's a guy either you want on your team or you hate him if he's not. And the other two, Thompson and Curry, I mean, they drafted him, and that's I like that approach to building a franchise, and they've done it the right way. Again, don't have to like them, but I damn respect them, man. They're a good team, and here they are again.
Well, and think about this. To me, They did draft those guys, and they didn't have the top picks to do it.
Yeah.
Well, Curry was, what, the 7th pick or 8th pick in the draft? Klay was down at 10 or 11. Draymond was a second rounder. I mean, really, the only time they drafted high, they took James Wiseman, and he hasn't done anything yet.
Right, right.
You know, you can see, we talked about this with Jim, Jordan Poole was down at the end of the first round. You can almost see the next version of him on the floor right now. That's how good they've been in the draft. Moody looks like he can play from Arkansas when he's going to get the chance. And then Kuminga, who knows? That dude seems like the sky's the limit in what he can become. And so, amazingly, without having to tank and with still making it into the finals and winning titles, these dudes have set themselves up. It's an incredible accomplishment by Bob Myers and everybody in that front office at Golden State to have themselves in such great position for post-Steph, Klay, and Draymond. Now, I'm not going to tell you that those guys are going to be right up there at the top, but they're in really good spots here to either those young guys develop into the next version or develop good enough to where then they can get some other pieces in possible trades to supplement what's coming next, you know, in the next 3 or 4 years whenever those guys kind of get to the end of their rope. But it's an amazing accomplishment. And, you know, you're right. Take out the 2 years or the 3 years with Cupcake over there, and you can't do anything. But they're enjoyable to watch. That's the part that kind of is the bird in your saddle, right, as Oklahoma City fans or Oklahomans with everything that happened with KD going out there. The problem was they were still damn fun to watch, even though you hated to admit it. And they're still that way right now.
They're still that way right now. So they're easier to watch because
Cupcake's
not there anymore.
That's right.
It's still that team I talked about. They were all drafted. They're all what we talked about right there. So they're easier to watch, and I'm not sitting here waving a Golden State flag and rooting for them. Shoot, I would have loved Dallas to win that series, but I do respect them. Absolutely.
We can't do anything but.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Ironman triathlete. I mean, look at him. He's actually skinnier than you, which is hard to do. And, oh, by the way, coming in here with his business attire on because he's out there working.
I think my approach is different from his approach.
There's no doubt about that, Jared. Skinny. He wasn't out there on the back porch doing what you were doing last night. Or maybe he was. We'll find out. Wrapping up the week on a Friday, pre-Memorial Day Friday. Joining us now is a business owner here in Elk City. He's had two kids now graduate through the schools in Elk City, one more coming. And he's also an Ironman triathlete. It's Mr. Brandon Culver. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you all for having me.
Oh, absolutely. All right, so tell us, how many of these, you just came from Tulsa on Sunday, how many of these have you completed now?
So I've done 9 fulls. I've done a lot of halves and different marathons and ultra marathons and stuff like that. But the Ironman, the full distance triathlon Ironman is 9 fulls so far.
So for those of us that don't know what that is, explain what is a full Ironman triathlon.
Well, it's a long day, for first of all, but it starts out with a 2.4-mile swim outside of Tulsa, which end up being closer to 3.1-mile swim, but then a 112-mile bike, and then a full marathon, 26.2-mile run.
All in one day.
All, you've got 16 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds. That is the cutoff time.
So if you go to 17 hours, you're done. Wherever yeah. you're at. Man, how bad would that be if you're like here for the door and you can't make it?
Oh, yeah, it'd be terrible. So
I got to ask, what were you just sitting down one day and think, I'm going to do this? I mean, what brought you into the triathlon world? Were you a kid? Did you do cross country and it kind of evolved from that? How did you get into this? Because I don't think I'm sitting down thinking, you know what I want to do today? I want to swim 3 miles and ride a bike. How did you get into it?
Well, I was a very large kid. I was an unhealthy kid growing up. I still have that inner demon in me. I like to eat. I like to do everything everybody else wants to do, but as I was growing up, one day it kind of clicked. Like, I couldn't get healthy and stay the way I was. So it kind of started off that I'm gonna go try to do a little bit of running. And well, I ran with a brother-in-law of mine. I was 20, and he was, I think he was 40, and he destroyed me, just left me. And I thought, you know what? This is junk. This has never happened again. So I started kind of running to get a little better shape, and then one thing led to another, and it kind of went into marathons, and then that turned into duathlons, and then eventually, as I wanted to continue to challenge myself, I was always fascinated with Ironman, but I never really thought I'm going to do that until one day I did an ultra marathon, 102-mile run, and it was hard. Jack Christian does them all the time, and he is a hero of mine. But it was hard, but it was a challenge that I completed. And the next challenge after that, to me, the only thing was Ironman. And so wow. I kind of started from there.
How long ago was that?
So I was about my first Ironman, I was 33. So that was 11 years ago. But when I first started running and getting moving, I was about 20. So 24, 25 years ago.
So inspirations. Being healthy and what else?
It's crazy how things change as you get older. Started off with basically people telling me you can't do it. And that was my motivation for my first one. And, you know, and it didn't take much. I'm one of those that I want to challenge myself. I want to get better. I want to get healthier. I want to live to be 100. But if you tell me I can't, I'm going to prove you wrong, and I'm going to prove you wrong 9 times or more. And so the first one was that. And then I completed that, and then it all moved to the finish line. And once I completed my first one, it was such an emotional race. As people see, I'm getting emotional now, but as people see in the race, the support that I get through it,
right.
And everything all the way through there, I'm crying half the time through the race. When I see my wife or I see the support, I'm crying because it is painful and it's hard. But I feel the love from the people and even all the Facebook likes and this and that. But when you cross the finish line, it is something you can't explain. There is nothing that I found any better.
So when you run the ultra marathon and you have this in your mind, okay, this is next.
Yeah,
is that something that you sit down with Jill and actually talk about? You know, because I know that this has to be totally time consuming to get prepared for it and nutritionally and all that kind of stuff. So is that actually a conversation you have to have with your wife? Like, hey, I've got this idea. What do you think?
Yeah, she is the greatest. She is my greatest fan, and. It more goes like, Jill, I'm thinking about doing this. And she says, okay, have you already signed up? Yes, I have.
So that's the tip that, hey, it's happening.
Yes, that's exactly right. You better get ready because it's going down. So,
all right, so let's – what is the schedule like? So how long before a race – I mean, I'm sure you're always in kind of training mode.
Yep.
But how long before – is there a certain time before it where it really steps up? And how long is that? How does that work?
16 weeks before a race is where I start dialing in nutrition. I start kind of starting to cut back on the things that we all like to cheat with. And I start honing that in and start to drop weight and starting to really key into my workouts, where you basically are training every day 16 weeks out. You have very minimal days off, and then as it gets closer, that ramp up time, you know, your first week may be 8 to 10 weeks, and then it peaks out at normally 14 to 20 hours in a week of training.
What is the physical part of that? As you know, obviously you've got to do each of the things, right?
Yeah.
Now, like how much of that goes into it?
It's a lot of it, but I tell everyone the number one thing's mental. You know, when you're going at it and you know you've got a 5-hour indoor bike ride on Saturday and then followed by an hour swim or hour run, and the next day you've got a three hour run with an hour swim. I mean, you're beat, you're physically beat, and it's where the mental side of it kicks in and goes, if you want to do this, if you want to see that finish line again, get your butt up and get it done. And I fall back on my wife a lot. I'll go to her and say, okay, I'm struggling. I need motivation. And her answer is almost always, well, if you ain't first, you're last. Get your butt up. And I'm wanting her sometimes, like, it's okay. Just lay here. She's not about that. So. which I'm not going to be first probably ever, but it's a deal that it's a good push for me.
Well, first, you're last. That's the best. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you think when you're actually when you're in Tulsa? That's a lot of time. I know you're surrounded by people, but what's in your mind? Just the constant motivation? Are you thinking about what you're going to do next week? What's your thought process?
It's all about the Ironman. It's all about the race. So I always go about 3 days before, because unfortunately out here where we live, we don't have a lot of the things that these bigger cities have. We don't have a lap pool. Mm-hmm. That I don't have a good place to open water swim, you know, so I go to those things to kind of get a little feeling for open water swimming, you know, and once I kind of do some of these things, it always seems like the 3 days before it's either going to click or it's not. And, you know, but I always, in the past, I've always had time in those 3 days to get the last of the bugs worked out and hone my nutrition in and get everything ready for race day.
So you're telling me you don't jump into Elk Lake and just start swimming?
I've done that. I've done that before and come out of there not good. No.
All right, you talked about nutrition. What is that like from that 16-week out period all the way up until the night before? Well, kind of tell us how that goes.
Well, the rule of thumb is nutrition is more important than training. And so what I start doing that 16 weeks out, I mean, I am hard point counting macros and I'm honing that in. It's very, very clean eating, very, as far as, I'm going to hit my points. I'm competitive enough that I'm going to hit these macros to the point. And it's very little cheating. And so that's 16 weeks long. And I normally average losing around 20 pounds in those 16 weeks.
So what is clean eating? Tell me what you're eating.
So I'll give you a kind of a regular day.
Yeah.
So day starts off with like oatmeal, blueberries, protein shake, a little peanut butter and honey. That's kind of the breakfast. It's a high carb. It's a little minimal fat, but then a higher protein, because I'll supplement some kind of a protein shake. Lunch is normally like a grilled salad, a grilled chicken salad or something, no dressing, you know, to minimize fat. And it gets me to a point in the evening where I have a little bit of chance to have a little extra carbs or have some room for some extra fat or whatever. And then supper time is, it's always grilled food. You know, no fried food, no nothing, no chips, no anything like that, unless I account for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you get into larger block training, you can add some of those macros back, and so you can kind of get to where I want to go to Pedro's and have some, or wherever, mm-hmm. And have some chips and salsa or whatever I want to do. I can have that.
Is there certain food groups like, say, red meat?
I like red meat, mm-hmm. but I don't eat it a lot.
Yeah,
it's just one of those that it's only on occasion for me, and so maybe twice a week that I'll eat red meat.
Okay.
And nothing against it. It seems like to me if I'm heavy on red meat, I don't have the energy. I seem like I have a little more extra cramping versus, you know, grilled fish or grilled chicken.
So day before the race, you're already there. You've scouted everything out, and you're feeling good.
Yeah.
What happens? Like what happens that day before?
Well, that's when the nerves all kick in. That's when Jill tells me I go into Ironman mode, where she's at that point, she's like, I'm ready for this race to be over with. Because apparently I turned into a butthead. But it is the most important day, you know. So lots of water. Like I average around 200 ounces of water a day, but those few days before, you're 300 ounces of water. You're
which
really
is 2 gallons or more, right?
Yes, yeah. It is. And so that day, it's don't change anything. You know, your nutrition is where it needs to be, and that's where a lot of athletes will mess up. They'll get to the day before and like, well, I'm going to tank up on these carbs and I'm going to eat a whole bunch more spaghetti and I'm going to do this. Well, it changes everything for what you've trained like. So you go to the race and, you know, you have a bad day. So.
See, that's interesting, because that's for me, obviously I'm not doing a bunch of running here, but that's what I always hear is, you know, carb load, carb load, carb load. But in my mind, it makes total sense to me, because you've trained your body for 16 weeks one way.
Yep.
Why would you do something different the day before?
Exactly right. And so many, and I've done it in the past, you know, but it took me years of doing it to learn, like, no, that's, yeah, just stick with your routine. It's worked so far, and go from there.
Are there any parts of the triathlon that you look forward to, or you favor more, like as far as swimming, biking, running? Is anything like, all right, I can't wait to get to this part of it?
It's always the end of the part of it.
That line.
That's exactly right. It's my wife and the unbelievable support group that followed us to Tulsa. I told them we had the largest group of supporters of anyone there. There's 20 people there. It was amazing. But
I found myself sucked into her updates on Facebook. Like, well, what's going on here? And then I was kind of, okay, where's he at now? What's he doing now? It was awesome.
Well, she has the ability to time things perfect. Like, when you get out of the swim, you are beat. But when you see someone or you hear her loud scream like everybody hears, it's...
We've been to football games.
Yeah, there you go. So it's an uplifting, and it's like, heck yeah, now I'm ready. And you get going on the next event, and then right when you're getting into that point of, I'm hurting, and this sucks, then she shows up again, you know, and it's just... And that's kind of what keeps the ball rolling throughout the day.
So it's like, I mean, we're when you say throughout the day, you're not kidding. I mean, it was half a day.
It's a long day.
Up in Tulsa.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand 12 hours of exercise basically nonstop.
Yeah.
How do you fuel your body? What are you drinking? What are you eating throughout the day to keep you going?
It is crazy. It is a very scientific method, and it's tough to monitor because you're having to fuel based on your output, temperature, how much you sweat, all these different things, and it's tough. I mean, as people know, I messed up on it, and the what you mess up on the swim and on the bike, it shows up on the run, and so that's what happened to me on the run. But it starts out as soon as I get out of the water, I'm taking on carbohydrates, electrolytes, minimal protein, and just trying to refuel. And so I've got a drink mix that I kind of stay with on the bike and supplement with goo and stuff. But that's kind of how you get to the bike. And then when you get to the run, it's no holds barred. You're grabbing what you can grab and praying to God you stay together.
Yeah, because looking at your bike, there was like three different drinks on your bike at the same time.
So one is I don't know how close people looked. There's like a yellow drink, and that is that's a very highly concentrated like carbohydrate mix, protein, and that's what I call my liquid nutrition. And so I keep that one bottle will fuel my nutrition for 4 hours. And then I have goo taped on there, and then I have the deal in front that's a red liquid, and that's consists of some branched chain amino acids. It's got some creatine in it, a little bit of caffeine, and it just kind of helps when you're getting in that bonk. I could hit that and kind of get a little pep up again.
Now, did you have to go to Mr. Shockey to figure all this out?
No, he probably could have helped me.
There is a lot of scientific to it.
It really is, and there's so many athletes that are so much greater than me. I mean, I've gone and explored and literally learned on what not to do, rather than you know what the best way is. And like I said, just evidence is I got to the run this time and got about 6 miles into it and trying to push to get to my run pace and my stomach locked up, and that's one of those deals that, like I said, it all comes back to how you were fueled for the swim and the bike to how well you're going to perform in the run. And it got me. And I look back at it, and I think it was points of the bike. I had to give a lot more effort. I mean, we had crazy hills, crazy wind, and I didn't fuel enough. And then I got a little upside down, so then I tried to cram. And then at that point, we call it your gut paralyzes because you basically quit digesting food, and you know as soon as it hits. I mean, it's a constant gut pain, and it's there until you're done.
Is it one of those things that you can, like, as you're, you know, monitoring what you're doing biking, do you have a sense of,
Oh, yeah. At mile 70, there's a guy on our race team that I was pushing to catch. And I knew he was close to me. And I was pushing and I was going close. And I thought I was getting close, but all of a sudden, I quit caring. I was just like, oh, I don't care if I catch him or not. Well, I got to 70. I ran into Jill and my brother-in-law and our group. My brother-in-law said, dude, he's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And I'm bonking and I'm dizzy and all this stuff. And finally, it clicks. It's like, and I don't know why seeing them click me. It's like, oh, my God, I haven't ate in over an hour. And so I start refueling and I get it back. And so, but by that time, when you bonk like that, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
The drinks. I'm stuck on the drinks. Is this something you mix on your own, like your own concoction, or you find it online?
So I did a race a few years ago. It was called a Triple T. It was a 3-day triathlon challenge. This race was sponsored by Infinite Nutrition. And so Infinite is a very customizable, and I sound like I'm trying to sell this.
Yeah,
stuff,
I like it.
Anyway, it's a customizable mix for you. You tell them kind of what you want to taste like, how many carbs, how much protein, all these things you want in it, and they mix it for you and send it to you. And so that's what I did. And I've used it for about 3 years, and I'm constantly changing, you know, so – you know, sometimes you want less protein or more carbs or whatever. So I've got a mix that I follow on the run and a mix for the bike. And so this time I only use my bike mix. I got to the run and I was feeling so bad. I was just like, I'm just going to, you know, get this thing out.
Sound like you could be a good bartender. Yeah. I want to taste this and a little bit of that.
There you go.
It's pretty good.
All right. So in my mind, like the distance. My mind works like this. If I was going to do this, okay, I'd go out here to the stop sign at Pioneer and Country Club.
Country Club.
I'm going to have to swim clear to Barbara Dyson or the airport. Yeah. Then I get on a bike and I go to like Bricktown or something.
Yep.
And then run to Shawnee.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably not the way to look at that. How do you, as you're going, how do you mentally get through that race? Knowing the distances you've got to get to or the spots you got to get to, but also not – because I promise you, if I could make it to the Baptist Church swimming, I'd have stopped. I'm like, man, I'm not even close to the airport.
I break it down to the fourths. And I just – that's what I do with my training that way and everything. And so I just – I always look at it as, okay, let's get a fourth of it done. And then you get the fourth, and it's like, okay, let's get to the halfway point. And then once you're there, then you know, okay, now it's a gut check. And so when you get to the 3/4 done, that's when it's like, I own this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how my mind works. If I ever catch myself at say mile 15 of the 112 bike and go, oh dear God, I got 100 miles to go, then I'm beat.
Right.
It's hard to get it to come back, you know. But if I look at it as, you know, I got 24 miles or whatever, and then I'll – or 27, sorry, math ain't working. Then I'll go from there. Then it's a lot easier way of looking at it.
Being a positive person, which you are, has to help in this endeavor.
Well, I have my inner demons, I promise you. But I'm normally putting it on myself, and that's where I love the Ironman, because it's truly a test of yourself. And I can go out there and I can cuss and I yell at myself and this and that, but it's just to myself. And so it helps push me through that point. And then when I see my wife or this or that, of course, now I have to smile and everything. And I get down the road, it's like, okay, Brandon, get your butt in gear and let's get it done. So being positive for the most part helps, but you also have to have that inner fight, like, no, I will get this, and I will beat you at it, you know, so.
All right, we're hanging out with Brandon Culver. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to know what happens after the race.
Do you?
And then looking forward to the next one. And I've got some questions to ask you. What's harder, the triathlon or?
Love it.
That's good.
Hanging out with Brandon Culver, who just completed his 9th Ironman triathlon up at Tulsa this weekend. It's pretty funny. He was doing a triathlon on Sunday, and I was griping on Sunday about having to walk up a couple hills at the golf course at Southern Hills. Hey, one more time, the Beckham County Memorial Day Ceremony, Monday, June 30th, out at the Veterans Memorial at Fairlawn Cemetery. That's going to be at 10:30. So 10:30 Monday, the Beckham County Memorial Day Ceremony. Sean will be there with music, flag ceremony conducted by the Sheriff's Office, Honor Guard, and also members of the OHP will be out there. It's always a cool thing at the cemetery for Memorial Day. All right, so you get done, you cross the finish line, there's elation. What is that recovery like for, say, I mean, even into now, 5 days out, what is that recovery period like?
It's first few days are terrible. I mean, it is you're way sore. You're hungry, but you can only eat so much. I'm not the best disciplined at it because I train so hard for 16 weeks eating clean, and the thing that I want afterwards is I want all the stuff that I've been dealing without for so long. So if I want to eat anything, I want to eat it. If I want something to drink, I drink it. You know, it's however. But normally after about 3 or 4 days, you kind of lose that craving of the crazy stuff, and your body is trying to get back to, hey, let's get back to clean eating. Let's get everything kind of back, because that's not you anymore. And normally after about 4 days today, or this fifth day, mm-hmm. I'm finally to a point now. I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready to go back to running. I'm ready to kind of start moving again. So
what are some of those things that you don't let yourself have that as soon as you're done, you're like, I want that.
But chips. I mean, that's my weakness. I love me some Pringles. I love me some chips and salsa, and some cheese dip, and I'm not a fried food eater, but I want fried food afterwards. Yeah. And so I go through a couple days of that, of eating everything I want, and then sausages. I don't even like sausage and bacon, but after the race, I'm like, give me some sausage. And so biscuits and gravy and all that good stuff. So
how long do you let yourself, just a week or so? I mean, how long? You're always training, obviously, mm-hmm. but there's got to be a period to let yourself recover after that. So how long until you kind of get back into a normal swing leading up to that 16-week period before?
2 weeks. And so I'll do 1 week is normally off. There'll be some walking and stuff. Kind of in that first week, but normally after the first week, I'll start doing a little 2 or 3 mile run or a 30 minute bike, just stuff real easy. But then after the second week, it goes back into not real hard, not a 16-hour week, but it'll go back into a 4 to 8 hour training week.
So what's next?
So I've got Ironman Chattanooga in September. And that's what I'm considering a B race. Tulsa was a C race. It was a race to see where my fitness level was and see what I needed to get better at, which I learned a lot. And then after Chattanooga in September, it's Waco in October, and that's the one I want to go all out in. I've got goals of getting older but getting faster. And I know it's hard to do, but I'm going to do that. So I want my fastest race ever to be in October.
So you mentioned goals. Are they like, I want to complete this many? I want to do at this age? You know, yeah. Are there other like numbers goals, age goals, everything in between goals?
It's a little of everything. So Ironman's got the world championship. That's where everyone wants to go, and that's Kona. So when you hear triathletes talk about, I want to go to Kona, mm-hmm. there's two ways to go. One is you qualify, and to qualify, you either get first or second basically in your age group, which is crazy fast. I mean, people who say, I'm in the 45 to 49 age group, people who say that these guys get slower, they get older, they don't know what I'm talking about. These guys are stupid fast, and I mean, I'm just struggling to try to catch them. And so, but your option is to win one of those, or you do what's called Legacy. Legacy is 12 full Ironmen, and then sign up for 13th, and then they actually give you permission to go a Legacy slot to Kona. So by the time you complete those 13 and then Kona, that's 14. So I will do a minimum of 14, but it's kind of become – It's kind of become something that I look forward to every year, and I firmly believe the only way to try to stay fit is you have to sign up for events that you're not going to let yourself get out of, and you just maintain and go with it. So I hope to – I'd love to do these into my 60s and 70s.
Golly,
you know, and I wouldn't have ever said that, but I'm in these races now, and I'm watching 60 and 70 year old guys and girls blow by me, and I'm like, I want to be just like you.
Right.
So that's kind of the way that's where I see it anyway.
All right, so let me ask you this: what's harder, doing a triathlon or watching your kids play sports?
Oh, you're trying to make me cry again. That's tough. Watching your kids senior year is probably the hardest thing that I've ever done, knowing that this is it and, you know, they're on with their life after that. That's pretty tough. Physically, you know, the Ironmans are hard, but the mental side of it is always the hardest. So I'd have to say watching your kids go through, it's a little harder deal.
And you can't really control anything.
No, you can't. So, and I know you're talking about me a lot about the way I pace at baseball games. Well, I can't sit still, and I want to help them.
Right.
But there's nothing I can do, you know, so it's.
Yeah, so that's how I knew you were hurting a little bit Tuesday, because you were just sitting in that chair.
Yep.
Out there on, like I do out on down the yep. the third baseline. I'm like, yeah, Brandon's sore. He's not even up. He's just got to sit there.
I couldn't. And it's one of those Jill always talks about when she likes me the most, and it's about the 2 to 3 days after an Ironman, because I do. I'm more apt to sit there. I'm more calm, you know, and everything else. So,
all right, this will be more funny. What do you think is going to be harder, the triathlon or being forced to play 2 days of golf with Quint Nichols next weekend?
That ain't no doubt. Definitely playing golf. That's without a doubt.
Last thing, I mean, you do this and it's awesome, but you really are a hugely successful business owner.
Well,
how do you balance that?
First, I say it all the time. That's God's business. It's not mine. But we have some unbelievable guys. I mean, we're far from perfect, but we know that, and we strive just like training for a race. You strive to be better every day, and if it wasn't for that support staff of all those guys and girls there, you know, it wouldn't be nothing. And I mean that they're, I've got to give them all the praise for this and for allowing me to get to go do these races, and they keep the business running, you know? And so I have a deal that every race I give my medal away. And one of these that, and I'm letting out a lot more than I'm supposed to, but one of these next few races, the medal goes to them.
Yeah.
You know, so they're very, very key point of us getting to do that, keep the business running, and whether I'm there or not, and allowing me to do these crazy things.
It's awesome, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. So cool. It's just it's a look into a world that I'm not ever going to be in. I don't have the mental toughness to even think about it. Smithy said at that 17-hour mark, we'd be in the canoe. Me and him would still be in the canoe out on the wherever the water is. Thank you so much, Brandon. I appreciate your time. Happy Memorial Day.
You
have
too,
great
buddy.
Weekend. It's Brandon Culver, 9-time Ironman triathlete. That number is going to be humongous by the time he decides to be done. Thank you to him. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Have a great Memorial Day. You know, just remember what that day is all about for those folks that weren't able to come back while they were protecting this fine country of ours. We'll be back Tuesday. No show Monday, so we'll be back Tuesday. Wrap up the weekend. Hopefully we'll be a step closer to Bedlam Golf Final. Softball will be coming to Oklahoma City next weekend. Two Bedlam schools will be fun if they were there as well. Happy Memorial Day. Everyone have a great weekend. This has been Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports End.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!